Hello, Zach here. And we have a second-time guest, friend of the pod, Bob Lanham, who's on the executive team at Carnell. He's the OEM and marketing SVP there. Carnell, they recently raised a $40 million funding round from Runway Growth Capital, and they plan to put that funding toward continued market expansion and product development. So, Bob, thanks so much for joining me on the podcast today. How are you doing?
Dude, I'm doing awesome. And before we begin, man, I just wanted to say thank you for stopping by the booth at NADA a few months ago. You know how crazy it gets. So the fact that you took time out of your day to come by and say hi, I just wanted to let you know, man, I really appreciate it. Shows your character.
Thanks, Bob. And loved your guys' booth as well. So last time you spoke with us, you were at Meta, also known as Facebook. Some dealers might know about that name change. And now you're with Carnell. So for the audience, tell us why you chose Carnell and a little bit about their product offering for dealers.
Yeah, I get that. I used to get that. I've been almost at Carnell 2 years. And you left Meta for Carnell? You know, it was time. Meta needed some new blood. I needed, a new challenge. It was a good time to do that. And I'll tell you, like, Carnell was one of our best partners. Anytime one of our teams wanted to do anything in the communication space or the digital retailing space, I'm not lying when I tell you this, I would call Tim Cox, one of the founders of Carnell, and I'd say, hey, one of our teams needs this. Would you be willing to work on it or test it or try it? And without hesitation, they always said yes. So I only called a number of people when I was looking to make a change. And Tim Cox from Carnell was one of them. So many of us probably know as, Carnell Chat or Carnell Messaging. That's how the company was founded. Then it morphed into digital retailing. You know, one of the differentiators that we have is that we combine our communication platform and digital retailing for those that buy our real-time retail suite. And then like others, we do have our showroom offering, which allows a consumer and more importantly, a dealer to connect that online experience that the consumer has, right, where they're pricing out a vehicle to in-store. So when they show up, you start off at the payment that they left off online.
Really cool. And I like the tie-in with communication and digital retail and the fact that Carnell is still standing, because I know there are a lot of DR companies that, pre-pandemic popped up. So really interesting product. And let me ask you this. You guys have now raised $40 million in funding from Runway. So what are some of the big initiatives your team's going to tackle now?
Yeah, I wish I could tell you what all those initiatives were, but I can tell you we are looking at building, whatever that might be, acquiring, whatever that might be, or partnering, right? And it could be a variation of any of those three. I will say we do have a few things in the works. Hopefully we'll be able to announce that sooner rather than later. But outside of product enhancements and continuing to focus on our core product, which we will 100% invest in, do look for some new stuff coming out here, hopefully sooner rather than later.
Got it. And how about Carnell? So I talked a little earlier about how digital retail historically has kind of been a crowded space. Talk about how Carnell differentiates itself from other DR tools.
Yeah. So listen, we do some of the same stuff that many do in the industry. I would never want to try to embellish anything that we don't. Digital retailing is somewhat of a strict process, right? It's anywhere between 5 and 7 steps that you need to capture from the consumer to ensure that we start that process of getting into an accurate payment. Like I said earlier, the fact that our communication platform is embedded into our digital retailing, how does that work? Right. One of the largest friction points of the car sale was the trade. When I was selling, that was one of the most challenging aspects of selling or buying a car. And so imagine a consumer, puts in their VIN and they get a price from the dealer's appraisal tool that we've, incorporated into our platform. And the consumer says, man, I, I really need a few more bucks off of this, right? Well, instead of having to wait and then go to the dealer to see what they're going to give them, they actually can communicate with the dealer right then and there. And the dealer can look up the trade, can look up more information at, and in real time, actually adjust that price so that the consumer can continue the process with a, you know, a more accurate price, at least on that trade. So, you know, our co-founder loves to say every sale starts with a communication. And I think buying a car is complex, right? There's a lot of different pieces to buying a car. So to be able to communicate with the consumer at any point in their digital retailing experience, in my opinion, is a great advantage for both the buyer and the seller.
So I got a two-sided question for you. What are the biggest misconceptions about digital retail from the dealer side, as well as the consumer, the end user side?
You know, for the end user, I think many might think this is just a lead gen strategy, right? You just want my information, and then it doesn't really matter what the price is, because when I get into the store, I'm probably going to have to start all over anyway, and or get a completely different price, so on and so forth. I think for the dealer, it's very similar in the sense of, hey, let's use it as a lead gen versus let's use it as a platform to put the deal, or at least the perception of the deal, in the hands or in control of the buyer. And when you do that, right, and when people feel as if they're more in control, what we've actually seen, and as well as others, I'll be honest with you, is the dealer tends to make higher gross on the deal. So I would say it's that misconception of the purpose of digital retailing, right? We're using it as a lead gen, which you will capture a lead. I mean, you'll get it from the trade, you might get it from the credit, you might get it at the end if you have a lead gate at the end. But if you know, I heard this on a podcast a few months ago, and it was from Alex Vetter, you know, the CEO of Cars Commerce. And he was asked, what is one of the biggest behaviors on cars.com, right? One of the largest marketplaces in the country or online. And he said, affordability. People trying to understand what vehicle they can afford based on the inputs they put and the payment they get. That's digital retailing.
Brilliant. And that's Alex, such a great mind.
he really is a great mind, and he totally gets it. So, but it reaffirmed, right? You have this massive marketplace with tens of millions of users that go to it in any given month. And affordability is the largest behavior. Well, that's what digital retailing is. So let people figure out how much their car is worth, how much their car is worth, plus the car that they want to purchase, right? With accessories, so on and so forth. And when you allow them to do that and go through the cycle and then go into the showroom, right, and pick up right where they left off, you're talking about a fantastic consumer experience.
So my next question, how do you see the future of car buying and selling evolving? And then what role does CarNow play in it?
Yeah, I'll tell you, dude, it's everything I just chatted about, right? It's connecting that online to offline experience. I think today still we have a very disconnected experience. So consumers are spending what, 5, 10, 15, 20 hours online researching not only what make and model they want to buy, but specific VINs, right, on dealerships' website. They look at payments, they figure out payments, then they walk into the store and they have to start completely over. Like, we have to fix that. We have to change that. And that's the role we want to play, at least for the consumer, right, so that they have this experience that is truly connected. But for the dealer, it's the same as well, right? Like, you're provided an experience that the consumer is going to enjoy. And I'll leave this for people who are listening to or watching this podcast. Research or look up engagement economy. We are actually living in an engagement economy. And what that essentially means, this is not going to be rocket science, but what this means is the online experience that people have, whatever it is, banking, retail, car buying, plays a huge, huge, huge role, if not the biggest role, on what brands they buy and where they buy those brands. So engagement economy, everybody look that up.
Definitely. And that's essentially how you're enhancing the car buying experience for consumers with this Car Now platform. And can you tell us about your partnership strategy at Car Now and how it benefits the dealer clients? I know if you go to the Car Now website, you have a whole page dedicated to that.
Listen, we fully understand we can't be the expert in have the greatest tech in every piece of the car buying or car selling experience, right? Like it's just, in my opinion, probably nearly impossible to do that. So we want to partner with the best in class technology partners or providers that provide those solutions. And think of trade, right? Like we're not going to become a trade appraisal platform. So we go out and we partner with the experts in the industry to ensure that we incorporate them or integrate them into our buying tool. You got credit and you've got accessories and all kinds of other offerings. So partnerships for us is really important. You got F&I, you've got solutions there. So partnerships are really important for us. We want to be that conduit, right? Like we don't need to be the experts at everything. We don't need to own every single platform. We know dealers like to pick and choose who they work with. We want to be that conduit that sits in the middle, that brings everything in and sends everything out.
Nice. Yeah. No, that model definitely resonates with dealers as well as partners. So what measures is Car Now taking to stay ahead in terms of technology and market trends from your vantage point?
Love this question, because I think we both would agree. What is the biggest buzzword or buzz letters of 2023/24 as AI, right?
Definitely.
I'll tell you, I saw this Instagram reel the other day. And I think it was actually later last year. And it was literally a person, and then the caption said, "About to give my AI speech," and walks up and says, "AI," and then turns around and leaves, right? And then the caption is a standing ovation. So carefully, right? Like just because it's sounds great or maybe looks great in some aspects, you know, everything we do, we need to do carefully and understand, right, its cause and effect. So we researched very heavily the artificial intelligence space. We're being very methodical of how we're implementing it. You know, one thing, you know, a lot of people might not realize is our clients are retailers, our dealers, and we have to protect their interests first. So the last thing we're going to do is put an unproven, an untested, an offering that potentially could go rogue or hallucinate or whatever they want to call it in front of a consumer that represents their business. You might laugh at this. You might not relate. You might not believe there's the correlation, but I'm looking at AI very similar to the metaverse. And I was there at Meta when we changed the name and we launched the headsets and people were going to buy cars virtually through virtual dealerships, through virtual sales people today. And businesses popped up and NFTs popped up in the whole nine world. I'm not here to say it's not going to happen. It will probably happen at some point. But, you know, as it relates to advanced technology, I think AI is probably the best example right now. We are actively testing internally. We've got a couple of products that we're potentially looking to roll out, but we're being really careful on how we do that. Because the last thing we want to do is make our dealer partners / clients liable for anything that might happen. But any other technology, Zach, we're 100% researching everything that's out there.
And kind of a side question, with your product Car Now, does it support, let's say a dealership had like bilingual sales associates and someone was, for instance, responding in Spanish, does it support that?
It sure can. Yep. I can't remember how many languages we have off the top of the head, but a lot. So if someone's going to want to communicate via different language than English, they 100% can, and the conversation will go back and forth with said language.
Wow. And finally, what are some of the exciting updates that are coming down the pipeline for CarNow? And then a personal question for you, like what technology are you most excited about in 2024?
I wish I could tell you more about the tech we have coming down the line. Obviously, we just raised a significant amount of money. If you're willing to have me back when it's time to tell, we will 100% have that conversation. Some of you might laugh at this when I tell you what I'm really intrigued about, and I'm probably going to purchase one here shortly, but I want to test out an EV. I want to go out and purchase an EV. I have a very good friend of mine. He's a dad on my son's soccer team. He actually works at a Lexus dealership. He's a GSM. He just purchased their electric vehicle. I can't remember which model it was. And it's funny because every game that I see him, I always make a joke like, oh, did you make it here? Did you, you know, run out of electricity? The other day it was raining. I was like, ooh, be careful. Your car might, you know, electrocute you when you get into the car. Of course, I'm kidding. But every time I see him, he's like, I love it. Like, I love it. I love it. Now, the one drawback is range, right? So, you know, if we're going on a long road trip for us living in Detroit, going to Indiana for a weekend at soccer, he can't really take it yet, right? Unless you want to plan a couple more hours on the road trip, which, you know, he didn't want to do. But that technology, I know right now, Hertz is getting rid of their whole fleet, and residuals are terrible, and values are terrible. But the Lanham family will probably be testing out an EV here very shortly.
Nice. And any models in mind yet, or still in that research phase?
Well, I have been exploring. Do I go out and buy one of those cheap Teslas that are on the marketplace from Hertz? Right, yep. They're unloading them. But this one might be for my wife, and she's, you know, we have older kids now, so we don't need the minivans. We don't need the big Tahoes. You know, she just goes around town. We might look at the Mini Cooper EV, and I'll tell you why. One, that's what she wants. She's always kind of wanted a Mini Cooper. Two, I was reading online that it has, at the moment, the best lease in the marketplace. So why not?
Yeah, those lease deals on EVs are beyond strong right now. I know a lot of people have just taken advantage of that, like 2-year or 18-month lease, and getting a nice car at a pretty low payment.
I am going to email my good buddy who works for Volvo, however, because I do want to explore a Polestar. For those of you that didn't know, Volvo owns Polestar. I test drove it last year. Fantastic car. A little bit more expensive than the Mini Cooper, but if he can help me out, you never know. I might be driving a Polestar.
Sounds awesome, Bob. And as always, we love having you on the podcast. We'd love to have you on again as well. Thanks so much for being generous with your time.
Appreciate it, buddy. Anytime.